Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, could I turn an eye back on an eye heritage?
Never! I determine that
I am! Turn it. Chakalaka, laka, 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 laka.
Hey, you don't know what? You don't know what? Again, life for an eye, people. Blazing!
I ain't just saying, I'm coming, I'm not, you know.
It's African thing, when you hear me chanting.
Nangami nami nagi no.
You know what black people thinking.
Me go son nangami nami nagi no.
It's African thing, when you hear me starting.
Nangami nami nagi no.
You know what black people thinking. Africa me from a natto. Here me belong beside the king in his throne. With the step time I'm on.
Don't play the wrong.
That's what I love. I stand not too much blood and bone. For the vile of the nation. Back down where me mind is on a repatriation. No more about the man me take out revelation. He said the man a black man. And a mulang.
Out of many me see we are one. So I show. Yeah, I'm a coming home. A black woman is coming home.
No more will I man.
I will have put on the bottom. Nangami
nami nagino. It's African thing when you hear me starting.
Nangami nami nagino.
So hear the prophet, priest and the king.
Hey, make up for nangami nami nagino.
It's African thing when you hear the termin.
Nangami nami nagino.
Man, oh man, I'm child in a ring. From all the west, me all go head to the east. Ready, me go learn about the mark of the east. They know no justice, know no peace. Educated, liars, murderers, and thieves. Life opens a vault, and whenever them a speak, them seraphs are king silent, them seraphs are king asleep. Silent river always run deep. If kings still have to drop a sleep, we all look with our feet.
So Ethiopia, I'm a coming home. Black woman is coming home. No more will I. Dr. Kaya Farum.
Me,
Nangami
Nami Nagino. It's African thing when you hear me chanting.
Nangami Nami Nagino.
Well, Africa ball the turn.
Nangami Nami Nagino.
And it's Africa thing, Africa song.
But you know where not to go.
But I see up your band, the river Nile banking. Babylon, you know, say that me have been spanking. Give me the whistle, give me the fire, give me the cause I'm king determined. Now what the joy they bring me. Ethiopian song, man, I sing.
They are healer, me king of king.
Me go live on a lead of the winner. Champion, the uprising.
Nangami nami nagino.
It's African thing when you hear me chanting.
Nangami nami nagino.
What a job they say they use them in a the ring.
We don't need to utter but three words. Tell this nation what we are talking about. They don't need words. You don't need to have a great vocabulary to utter. You don't need to have a philosophical bent to grasp. They are three little words. We want to let the world know that these words describe what we mean and what we are determined to do about racial injustice. We don't want a few token handouts here and there. We want all of our rights. The other word is here. There are some people who say that we need to go back to Africa. We want all of our rights, and we want all of our rights.
Auxiliary, your host with the most intelligent young woman that you want to know, the sister that know it all. And you know, people say you'll know it all, but she's a know it all in a good way. Mrs. Sadie Gomez, let's give her a nice hand and bring her into the studio. Wrong people.
Well, thank you so very much, Dr. Robinson, my co-host, for your warm welcome on this wonderful, warm, sunny Sunday afternoon. It is indeed warm inside. I hope everyone's houses is nice and warm and snuggly. At this time, it's a wonderful Sunday evening. You know what we do on this side of town when we get together. And Sadie Sundays, this is a place where we bring out all truths. We dig it from under the mat, or sometimes we gently lift the mat up and we pull it out. All the same, we examine all the truths here on Sundays, and sometimes we place it back, depending on what it is. But we like to know, when you come on this show, feel free to bring your truths on this side of town. This is where we could accept it, we examine it, and we really love it because it is said the truth will set us free. We often love when our families get together. The Ethiopian World Federation Women Auxiliary Local 26, where we get together with our brothers and our sisters when they visit from the various other locals of the Ethiopian World Federation. This is also a wonderful platform where our brothers and sisters can share various ideas and uplift the Federation, of course. And we want to, of course, thank our president, Dr. James Winborn, again this evening. So we hope each and everyone that is here is going to join in, have a wonderful evening with a topic of conversation this evening. And, of course, we go into various other topics of interest that we would like to discuss. Basically, whatever we want to do on this Sunday, feel free to do it. This is your show. As well as it is my show, I'm going to really enjoy myself and hoping that you do also. We want to talk today about the crisis in Israel or the Gaza Strip or the Hamas crisis, but it's a crisis, it's war, it's terrible when we see a lot of people dying, especially children who didn't even get a chance to make it because how could they, when under the terror of bombs and buildings dropping, adults can hardly survive, much less for children, 5 and 6 year old, who, I mean, it's just difficult. So we see war on both sides, destruction on both sides, and we wonder how is it affecting us here in America? How is it really, really going to affect us when we see wartime, for those of us who have not seen a war, who have never seen a war, we probably are curious, but for those of us who have seen war and for hearing what war is all about, of course, it's very ugly. It's a case of rationing food. You can't go outside. Bombs are dropping. People are dying. People are running helter-skelter. And things are just not the same. In no way, form, or fashion is it pretty. Not for any of the sides. Where you have death and destruction, no one really wins. But of course, man has come to a conclusion that war is a solution to many problems that we would face as brothers and sisters or as neighbors or just citizens trying to coexist upon this here platform. We all have a place on the canvas. We all should be allowed to enjoy our freedom, which is our God-given right. But in some circumstances, some rights are taken away. Even we as a people, we know what it's like for our rights to be taken away. We know what it's like to be wickedly punished and tortured on your own very land. So as a people, we could have sympathy towards another set of people who are presently being killed, tortured, maimed, and thrown off land which they believe was theirs. But in history would tell us that the very land that they are fighting for belonged to neither of them. So it's a case where who is going to win and who is going to lose. What we are looking at this evening is what effect that this drama that is going on presently with Israel and Palestine, what effect does it have on us over on the side, United Nations would tell us that, you know, we have to support wars and various other things. But what are we seeing with the wars? We want each and every one who's here to weigh in. What are we seeing? What are we seeing with the various peoples that are affected? How is each side taking their pain, their losses? Is anybody winning this war? Is it worth it, really? But yet the fighting goes on. So we want to ask our wonderful studio audience, when we get together, this is one of the topics that we would definitely like to address this evening, seeing that there are two important people at war, where we would say, if we would think of the religious aspect of the war, we have the Jewish people and we have the Muslim people, and that Islam nation, that brotherhood, which would be millions of people around the world if we should think of that brotherhood. And then we have the Jewish people, which is really the Zionist movement people. So we would see in various comments that some of the Jewish people who understand what Judaism is all about would tell you something different about how they feel about this very circumstance that's happening in the Gaza. They would tell you differently what Judaism is all about. They would even go as far as to separate themselves within identity as far as being Jewish people. They'll let you know they are Jewish people, but they are not from the Zionist movement. So we are seeing two factions having operation within the national Israel, at present day Israel, that we see since 1948, that state that was created and supported by many great nations, Britain, America. We see this coming together where these people are at war for, I guess, I'm not even sure why they are at war. I don't even want to say the wrong thing, but my wonderful studio audience, they are always so brilliant. They want to weigh in, and they're going to state exactly some of the knowledge they're going to pass on to us, that we are seeing quite an uneasiness that's happening on the earth right now. There's other small wars or big wars brewing and happening. There's the Ukraine-Russia disturbance. We know it could affect us as well. So here we are, almost in two wars, and Lord knows if another one is brewing up with Thailand or China or somebody else, then, of course, we keep adding and counting the amount of disasters that we are facing right now. We know we're in a very difficult time. We are, in fact, in a very strange sort of time, different from, let's say, 10, 20 years ago. It is indeed really, really different. We are drawing closer to that revelation type of time, end time sort of feeling, although we know it's world without end, but an end to, wouldn't say a civilization, but a time. Various times occur within or cycle of our lives, and we are facing now a different sort of time. It's an AI time. Artificial intelligence is taking over many of the jobs that we humans once owned. Artificial intelligence is being accepted in certain areas, and they are really, really crossing some kind of, shall we say, gray lines. I should just say artificial intelligence has caused quite a destruction in one young lady's life who in school, just, you know, school pranks, because we know how school days can go. They are the happy days. Some young man posted a nude picture of a young lady, but in the school, of course, we know 16, 17, and the curiosity in that sexual department. They posted her. Somehow they got her picture on board with nudity, but with all the help of artificial intelligence, they had her name, her face, and I don't know if it was her body, maybe not, but this was circulating around school. So I'm just saying here for a minute how artificial intelligence has taken over to help, but also to the destructive nature of the help that these robotic toys are giving us. So we are seeing a different time where the very artificial intelligence are helping kids in schools for their exams. So that should be called cheating, but I don't know if there's another name for it, but it's been accepted somehow along the line, together with other things, I guess, that has to be accepted as well. But here we are, CD Sunday for Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated. We are Local 26. It's the Women Auxiliary. It's a wonderful Sunday evening. So lively up yourself. Dr. Robinson, can you tell me how the studio audience is looking? Dr. Robinson?
Oh, sorry, I was on thingamajig there. I wanted to say, in reference to Palestine and Israel, there's a journalist who was threatened, his TikTok or whatever, his social media was threatened. A journalist from Trinidad had a very special, unique concept, idea about this whole thing. And so I wanted to just play his statement, and people can, you know, make their own decisions.
Okay, wonderful.
Okay. Can you hear it?
Not so clear.
Okay, hold on. I'm trying to see here how I can make adjust. Can you hear now?
No.
You can't hear?
I can hear you. Okay. Did you start to speak?
Okay, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Can I give me a minute?
Okay, I can hear you, however.
All right. Yeah, give me a minute. So technology, people, technology. You know, we got all this technology and artificial intelligence, and I'm not artificially intelligent.
You need some AI help right now?
I need some AI help right now, but don't show my beautiful body. Hold on. Getting old, y'all. Getting old. You know how that goes. You know? No, y'all don't know how it goes. Not until y'all get here, then y'all know. Okay, here we go. There we go. Here we
okay.
go.
Okay. Nothing yet on the air, Dr. Robinson. Dr. Robinson, we don't have anything happening yet. Okay, for my other studio audience, I don't know if you can hear the message Dr. Robinson would like us to hear coming from a journalist from Trinidad and Tobago. I'm not able to hear anything
okay,
just yet.
Okay, I got you now. I know I had a little situation there. Don't.
Give me a few minutes, guys. Let me blow your mind. Let me begin by saying stand with Palestine in this Israel-Palestine thing. But there's something going on. They don't want us to see. Just before this Israel-Palestine thing, there was this Russia-Ukraine thing that almost like magic, the entire world was focused on this Russia-Ukraine thing like that. And almost like someone flipped the switch, the entire world is just focused on this Israel-Palestine thing. People who didn't even know about Palestine, people who are unfamiliar, everyone is just focused on it. And while I stand for justice, and right now, while I stand for Palestine, at least based on what I'm allowed to know about the situation, there's something diabolical that's happening right now in this world that nobody's talking about. As we're speaking right now, there is a Holocaust happening right now, 2023, in the Congo. Genocide, as we speak right now. Just to give you a bit of a backstory, the Congo is perhaps the most mineral-rich place on the planet, and produces something called cobalt, coltan. I'm not sure if it's the same product, but it's in the same family. And this particular product is used on all cell phones, in computers, in all of our technical devices, electronic vehicles. Yeah, Tesla. Without this particular material, none of that would work. As we speak right now, there's a rebel army called M23 that is fighting against the Congolese military. This M23 rebel army is made up of soldiers from Rwanda and Uganda. Now, this war is causing instabilization in the Congo. So you understand, any economy with that level of instability, you can steal from them, you can take what you want from them, you know, and there is this constant battle. Now, it will seem as though Africans fighting against Africans, right? So, like, why would Rwanda and Uganda send people to fight against the Congolese?
Hello. Okay.
Give me a few minutes, guys. Let me put your mind.
I'm not sure what happened there. Okay.
In this Israel-Palestine thing. But there's something going on they don't want us to see. Just before this Israel-Palestine thing, there was this Russia-Ukraine thing that almost like magic, the entire world was focused on this Russia-Ukraine thing like that. And almost like someone flipped the switch, the entire world is just focused on this Israel-Palestine thing. People who didn't even know about Palestine, people who are unfamiliar, everyone on it, just focus on it. And while I stand for justice, and right now, while I stand for Palestine, at least based on what I'm allowed to know about the situation, there's something diabolical that's happening right now in this world that nobody's talking about. As we're speaking right now, there is a Holocaust happening right now, 2023, in the Congo. Genocide, as we speak right now. Just to give you a bit of a backstory, the Congo is perhaps the most mineral-rich place on the planet and produces something called cobalt, coltan. I'm not sure if it's the same product, but it's in the same family. And this particular product is used on cell phones, in computers, in all of our technical devices, electronic vehicles. Yeah, Tesla. Without this particular material, none of that would work. As we speak right now, there's a rebel army called M23 that is fighting against the Congolese military. This M23 rebel army is made up of soldiers from Rwanda and Uganda. Now, this war is causing instabilization in the Congo. So you understand, any economy with that level of instability, you can steal from them, you can take what you want from them, you know, and there is this constant battle. Now, it will seem as though Africans fighting against Africans, right? So, like, why would Rwanda and Uganda send people to fight against the Congolese military to destabilize the Congo? It just doesn't make sense until you find out that the armies from Rwanda and Uganda are being financed by the USA, the UK, and France. Now, this is probably a good time to remind you that cobalt is the raw material used for all of our computers, aerospace engineering, electric vehicles, telephones. You guys are beginning to understand the picture, right? Man, I really, really wanted to share some videos with you guys here, but because of the nature of the content that I share, right now my account is on warning status. You understand? So I got to be careful, but I'm still going to give you information. Oh, TikTok, this is for entertainment purposes only. Now, in this war that is allegedly funded by the United States...
Robinson? Okay, we can pause here so we can get people to comment on this, what this journalist has remarked upon. You know, this concerning DRC, it's very important for us to know and understand what is really happening when we hear wars in Africa. This special case of the Congo, one of the richest part of the continent, wealth beyond, and yet we see the poverty of the people. But the good thing now that the various peoples of Africa are waking up to see the painful truth that Americans, England, Belgium, France, Germany, when they come into the country to help, it's not to help. They are never there to help. They are coming to help themselves. They are coming to destabilize a country whereby now you can be advantageous to the various citizens of that special country because you have destabilized, you have brought fear, you have thrown governments into disarray, you have rebel armies, and we are finding out now and just a few years ago that these rebel armies are funded by the American government, by England, by France. These nations, these power countries has no interest in Africa and its stabilization, Africa with democracy. The only interest these countries have in Africa is to steal and plunder, rape, rob, as they have done for many years now. France has held on to Africa for 60 wicked years and in bed partners. To do what? To help the poor? No. Just wickedly robbing, brutalizing, and really hating on every citizen in Africa for the reason being they are only there to steal. The Red Cross go there under the guise of helping with needles and Red Cross kit only to kill, give bad injection to citizens of Africa, and again to set up shop whereby the Americans can come in again to steal the minerals of Africa, the richest continent in the whole world, the God-blessed nation that has been placed among us. And here we see poverty, strife, killings, but not caused by the people. The people are now finding out it's all orchestrated by the American government, England, France, and these major players. They have their hand in Africa. You will hear them refer to Africa as the sometimes what, the shithole countries or all sort of derogatory names. But are they going to leave Africa? No, they want us to leave Africa, run us out of Africa, take us out so they can get in, Lord forbid. But I'm just saying, here we are with a situation, thank God for journalists who has not been in the guard order, but here he's begging for his life, telling you he would share some more, except the fact that he is in the Facebook jail or the Instagram jail or somewhere, because once you start to speak some truth, which, you know, I found out myself, I got one time half day in the Facebook jail for sharing something. So it shows you there's no really freedom of speech or of this guise of democracy. We continue. We are seeing where people are really afraid to say some things that they really feel because there are consequences to such actions. So there's our freedom in a time like now where we still struggle with it. If we know it cannot be talked spoken directly, we'll have to quote it. But here we are on this wonderful Sunday evening where we embrace each other's family, where we share and really care for each other by looking out for each other, sharing, caring, and speaking of the truth, and really opening up some areas that would not otherwise been opened up, and sharing with our brothers and sisters the things that we know to be truth, to be right, and conscious. Here we are on a Sunday evening. Dr. Robinson, can you let me know who's in studio at this time?
Okay, we'll open up mic
332-799.
Yes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Is this our brother Ronnie?
Yes, it is.
I want to take a special time to wish you a very happy Earth Strong. Are we celebrating another year around the sun today?
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Let's give a nice hand.
And many more.
That's how we do it. Welcome to the Sadie Sunday
Show. Happy birthday to you.
Because we're going to change the earth in the hand of, bring it back to the hand of God. In the 1400s, the Ashkenaz, those are what the so-called Jews are called in Israel. They were the Russians. Had them in ghettos. They would only let them out to do business and take their money. They would take their money. Okay. After World War II, 1957, after the Holocaust, they didn't have a place to stay, so they said they were going to Israel. Before that, if they weren't going to Israel, they were going to Uganda or the Congo. That would have been their Israel. Now, what happened is that they got to Israel, and the UK and Britain and the United States, after being rejected by 60 other countries for their freedom, you know, or for them coming to stay. Great Britain, United States, and what now had the United Nations decided in 11 minutes that Israel was a state. This was brought through the 1968 wars. Now, after that, Israel now is a state in 11 minutes. So every time they went to negotiate the Palestinians, who had been there for years, there already had been some settlers there, all right, Israeli settlers. So every time they sat down to negotiate, Israel, or the Ashkenaz, took more land, put people out of their homes, you know, and took more land, tore houses down, okay, pushed the Palestinians into what is now a cul-de-sac, per se, all right. In 1993, Hebrews out of Ethiopia were having a problem, and the Jews said they would be doing a humanitarian approach, and they brought, I don't know exactly how many down, but what happened is they gave the women drugs so that they wouldn't reproduce. They wouldn't reproduce and overrun them in their Israel. Now today, and for the past few years, they've been abused. Palestine and Israel have been abusing black Israelites and Neo-Hebrews. Now we have now some Hebrews that migrated from the United States and made their own site, and they've been there, I think, 20 years or so. All right. Bene Israel, and they've grown there, the children have grown there, been educated and what have you, and now they're putting them in front also in this war. So here we're cannon fodder again in this war, and when you're in Israel, you have to serve the army for a year or 2 years, all right. And so there's a lot of black people being killed there too, you know. I have absolutely no, and let me say it on here again, no sympathy for Israel. I have no sympathy. If I go back to study a Palestine, shouldn't have no sympathy for them either, because they moved Jews, the original Jews, out of their land. You know, and this is something, you know, and this is all under white supremacy, worldwide white supremacy. You know, Rhodes, you know, people are proud to be Rhodes scholars and stuff like that. Cecil Rhodes slaughtered 16 million people just because he could in the Congo. You know, and this genocide has been happening off and on again since then. When you have people in rural areas that have no education or communication, and they live rural, and they see a Japanese man or a Chinese man and call him white, they have no concept of what's going on in the rest of the world. So in doing that, they could make alliances, or the United States, Israel, France, and so on, make alliances to go in and do what they've always done: steal. They did it in the United States. They did it in the South America, Central America. They did it in the islands. Every first world country they did it in. And I'm saying first world, because we're not third to anybody. You know? And so this is where I have my attitude. And I don't, you know, listen, got some issues that I got to get over, but I'm not anxious to get over those issues. I'm not at all. You know, because if we don't take, in this country, if we don't take, become real prayer warriors, you know, and so on, and protect ourselves from what's coming, whether Trump wins or not. It's our fault. We don't need to be separated from one another as black people, one. Okay. My mother could have been my great-great-great-great-grandmother could have been your mother. We could be related. But you happen to be in Jamaica or Trinidad, you know, or Sao Paulo, you know, or what have you. And we need to get this straight. This is going to be a battle for survival in this country. And if we don't pick up ourselves, we want some buildings and land. There's a whole lot of technology out here. We can take one building and service 2 mile radius of buildings with food and energy. All this other stuff does not matter. And if we don't get that, it's on us. It ain't on white man. It ain't on white supremacy. It's on us. Because we can become the white supremacists to ourselves. That's all I got to say.
Thank you so very much. My wonderful caller Sunday evening would not be the same without you, Mr. Ronald. You know your favorite voice on this side with us, and we oftentimes long to hear those who are committed to the struggle, understanding, overstanding, and understanding what is really going on. My brother, I want to remark on what you said concerning the survival. We ought to look seriously after what we as a people, we as an organization, what are we seriously going to do in a certain time? We ought to have a building, a warehouse of food, of water, and some sort of generator or somewhere where we know we have contributed to helping our people in a survival time. It will be no longer no white supremacy. It will be pure survival in a land that is dusty and barren when the bombs drop. We are not saying it's going to happen tomorrow, but we ought to preserve and prepare our mind, our bodies, and of course, our people, knowingly that disaster is going to come near and dear. It's only a matter of time.
We have everything. The technology is here. I was doing some studying today, and I saw where you have to have, say, 5 acres of land to do, you know, crops or stuff like that. People do it on the, or 1 acre. But this was containerized farming. And it was very interesting. They didn't use any water. What they did is they set up a container with UV light, all right, and they set up their vertical stands where they would put their plants. And what it took 6 months for you to grow on that 5 acres of land, it took 6 weeks to grow inside a container. And these people are growing food, taking these containers in certain states all over the country, and they're selling fresh vegetables. You know, the part of this is the humidity in the container. Two is controlling the light sources. No difference in light. The sun comes up from 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock, you know, and then when the light goes out, you go in the container, turn the white light on, and you start pruning or taking the food that you need and packaging. I've seen that done on roofs with walls of herbs. You know, on roofs. I was thinking also about the brother who invented this machine that takes water out of the air. Okay, and depending on the size, can give you 1,500 gallons a day. Well, I went to Cornell University, took a short course with Dr. Filson Warner on aqua farming. Not just fish farming, because that didn't produce the right property, but aqua farming, farming with the fish and developing the brackish water that the fish need to survive. And the brackish water was produced by plants in their roots that were in the water. So we have warehouses, buildings, you know, and stuff like that we can grow. You know, we have people that can train ourselves to defend ourselves, you know, because that's going to be needed, you know, and things like that. And that would definitely stop gentrification, you know. But these things go through my mind, and every time I study something, or look, something else comes up, I see some other technology, we have what we need. What we need is us to be one together, social, politically, and economically, to invest in these things so that we can know that us and our children will be rightly, safe, and educated. You know, I'm thinking about Panama. Panama has some more opportunities there. Africa, too, you know. But if we're fighting and arguing, you know, who's this, who's what, who's this and who's what, and who's I'm praying to, you know, I know a lot of people that were in prayer and they got shot in the head. They went to another dimension earlier. I don't believe heaven is up there and down. I believe heaven's right here. You know, and so on. So we got to make that move. If we don't, anything that happens, we have no reason to cry. And it's going to take generations for us to do this. Of course, we got to get into the young people's head who are already indoctrinated into all this nonsense. You know, it's frightening. I'm not scared for me. I'm scared for the future. I'm scared for my great nieces and my great nephews.
Well, my brother, I'm totally in agreement with you with what's happening concerning that survival technique. We ought to really forget all the pettiness about differences that we may have among us as within the local, even on the people or organization, because at the end of the day, we are one people, which is the black people of the world. And we have to see survival really depends on each and every one of us coming together, putting our shoulders together so we can build that wall. Strong unity and strength. We cannot do it any other way. And as I remark again, there's a certain time upon us right now where we ought to pay attention to future as to even understanding what gardening, what farming could be like if we don't have land, as the brother just stated, but a consciousness of understanding food, our basic needs, food, clothing, and shelter, getting a grip and a hold of what we can do for self. That time is coming, and let us be conscious of those who do not wish to conform or group with us. We just have to move on and leave them alone, because we cannot no longer stay back and wait to solve small petty problems. We have to move forward, understanding the importance of time. So I let the mic open for the other in the audience, studio audience, that you can take part in the show. It's Sadie Sunday. Sadie Gomez for you this Sunday. Wonderful Sunday evening for you to weigh in on the various topics. Your mics are open.
Yeah, we have to wait a little bit more there.
Okay. And Dr. Robinson, we enjoyed the ginless cassette that you shared with us. Truly, I saw that cassette myself. I know it's a brother from my country as well. Hello?
Is that Dr. Ivan Van Sertima that was, he's from Trinidad, I believe.
Yes, we spoke about the atrocities in the Congo, and he's telling you that the soldiers from Uganda and Rwanda, they're already funded by the U.S. government. So when we see that blacks is fighting against blacks, it's just to give us a pity in our mind for the destruction that the West really performs. So this is not a case where blacks fighting blacks, but a case where instability, destabilizing a country where it's a design plan by America, England, France. They sit all day long just studying each and every day how they could destabilize African economy so that they can get in to plunder as they normally did and their forefathers. So here we are on the Sunday evening. Let's hear you, Dr. Robinson.
Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, Africa has all of these coups and wars and rumors of wars and wars on top of wars. And he made me, the journalist from Trinidad and Tobago, he made me just start thinking. I know that coup, I know that they create wars in Africa to destabilize the countries so they can take the natural resources. But it made me think about all of the millions, because he said 10 million people had died in the Congo over 20-something years or 30 years of that war. And like you said, there's no mention of it, but there's so many wars in Africa because of natural resources and the great riches that they're created by the Europeans to distort. I remember Margaret Thatcher used to be the Prime Minister of England, or President, whatever you call it. Her son went over there and started a coup. So him and his friend had a private plane, and they were stealing all the gold. And Zimbabwe took him under arrest, him and his friends. And his mother was the Prime Minister at the time. He was the Prime Minister of England at the time. And his mother had to get him out. His mother had to go, you know, with some diplomacy, some diplomatic procedure to get her son and his friends back, because they were put in jail for creating that coup, that war. They were paying the people. But it's so unfortunate. And I always say poverty is going to cause the death of black people, because when a person's impoverished, You can pay them to do anything. It's unfortunate, but that's the reality. When people do not see any means, and they're not, and nothing, they're not talking about the brain drain in Africa. They're not talking about the great flight out of Africa. The young people are leaving. I see videos all the time. Young Africans talking Dutch. They talking German. They talking Swedish. They talking French. Italian, you know, they're talking Russian, they're talking all these languages because they're going to these countries to live so that they can have a family and be able to support themselves and support their family and send money back to Africa. That's terrible, with the richest country in the world in natural resources, you know. And so we got to consider all this stuff, because if the men leave, if your intelligentsia leave, if your brain drain, you know, how do country move forward? I know I have office in Nigeria and Ghana and different places, and I know engineers, four years, 6 year degree in Nigeria. Nigeria is one of the richest countries economically, financially, because the richest black people in the world is in Nigeria. Oil rich, natural resources rich, big money in Nigeria. And they pay a 4 year degree, bachelor's degree, master's degree engineer $200 a month. How can a young man get a wife and kids and figure out how to build a life with that kind of situation? Whether and the Prime Minister of Nigeria would tell you, well, Prime Minister Tinubu, he'll tell you, well, you know, the economy here is cheaper than any place else. But that's not true. Young people find it very difficult to survive and pay their tuitions and their university fees and have a wife and kids and build a home and have a car. They're finding it very, very difficult, not only Nigeria, but Africa in the general. It's unfortunate. The richest natural resources country in the world, and that stuff should turn into a monetary gain for the country, and people should be flourishing, people should be living, you know. And so
Gaddafi should be a roadmap for them. You know, he said his mother couldn't get a house until all Liberians got homes. Now you have these ministers, you have these teachers, and you got these other thieves that look like us taking money and buying mansions and castles and stuff like that all over the world and going to school here in the United States while their people are dying, starvation and stealing and killing. Gaddafi is a roadmap, and it's simple. Just as you live, let people live. And it's that's why they killed. That's why, you know, they had him killed. He was a threat to the world. But now they're more threats because now they're going back to the gold standard. But he didn't. His dinar wasn't the dinar they wanted at that time to go back to the gold standards, you know, in 2014, 15, or whenever that happened.
Well, my brother, we thank you again for sharing that bit of information concerning Muammar Gaddafi. He really indeed was structuring Africa to be that independent, that one state, that one dollar, that one oneness within the powers in the West that be decide to get rid of him.
Yeah, and he was going to do this in the Caribbean, in the United States, in South America, all agricultural money. Because if you can feed yourself, you can heal yourself, and you can develop.
Let me know it was not the agenda of the West to have an Africa empowered like that with a strong dollar. So it was definitely not in agreement with the agenda that's being pushed forward right now, and we know by the powers that be. He had to be taken under, as well as we look at all African leaders. We can look back for the last 20 years that put their feet forward to make a difference were definitely assault, man was taken upon their own selves to assassinate these great men that rise up. So we again seeing, but our children are rising up to see and understand that Africa does not operate the way Africa would like, but Africa has the hands of the white man still gripping on for their life in the running and operation of Africa, even Nigeria. Such a rich place, but yet the corruption of some of the leaders have led on to some of the poverty that trickles down into the societies. But you wonder how so much oil and yet some people can't even do breakfast. We see the unbalance of wealth and then, of course, greed having been that native greed as well. But we want to move on as we're watching what's happening presently with wars and destruction. What is happening in Africa is happening under a secrecy, we should say, because it's created by, not by the civilians, but by other sources of the West, where they attack the weak government and take away one or two people, fill their pockets with money, and have them go against all the other civilian citizens of your country. We see this happening. We see that type of operation, and we pray for one day the strength of the leaders of Africa would not be like Ruto, but be like Ibrahim Traoré in Burkina Faso. We pray for more strong black men like that to hold on to the continent, whereby we can ask the white man to please leave. He brings all his corruption, all his diseases, all his lies, and of course, he's bringing his bad food, which Africa don't really need. So please leave. We are asking the Caucasians to just get out, which is part of Africa's biggest problem. They are there, gripping onto Africa for no reason except to fill their pockets, to destabilize, and to cause, of course, the evil and wickedness among black people. So here we are, the stage and the players, and we are watching and observing, not like our grandparents did, but we are watching now to see the truth of what business the white man has in Africa. It has nothing good to do, and that's coming from Bill Gates and all his cronies. They, if they're not injecting children to give them AIDS and diseases, they are robbing, raping, and carrying on with the women. They are sterilizing a few down in the Gaza. And we see one caller remarkable, the Ethiopian women, they were sterilized in under the guise of, let me give you a flu shot or something, you know, so kind, let me give you something for your skin or something so kind. Yet they were sterilizing these women. Wickedness, all we can see for years and years and hundreds of years that the white man has done. Also, the Arabs. So when we watch the war in the Palestine and Gaza and that side of town, which they are calling Jerusalem, which is really Africa. That's Africa, the whole continent, that's still Africa. And we wonder who really the land belongs to. But there's often a collision and a cleansing. So at this time, we just have to let the chips fall in place, because the land belongs to neither of. That is, in fact, Africa. And the richness of the land, we see that Jerusalem itself, because the Jewish people knew how commercialized that area was, they went to Africa, got some trees, stick it down there, call it the Holy Land. They have a weeping, wailing wall. People go down there, spend money, and the saga continues. It's all a sham. Just now they'll be looking up in the sky, waiting for the Christ, and some hologram is going to come down, and it's all a sham. It's all a sham simply because this thing called religion is, in fact, a scam. All around it has been. Because if we should be truthful, which we often do on this show, which we have to, because you know we would have to call you out, what was happening to our parents, our foreparents, and our ancestral parents before this thing called religion? There was no such thing called religion. They were not Catholics, they were not Anglicans, Protestants, or anything of the sort. They had what we would call spirituality. And they knew how to communicate with the Godhead. They knew they were children of the Most High, and they communicated with the Almighty God. But here we see our beautiful continent, Africa, of which we were stripped and taken, raped and robbed, while we are here on another side of the world. But we are understanding as we grow older to understand, to examine the beautiful continent. They want it because it's the richest continent in the world. And therefore, they came and hand us religion, which our ancestors had nothing to do with, nothing, absolutely nothing. You tell me 600 years ago, 1,000 years ago, there was nothing called religion. There was nothing of the sort. It was not a part of the African tradition to be anything but serving the, within their spirituality, African spirituality, as how they conducted their affairs. But now you get this white man Jesus put on your wall, and you swear if you don't follow these things in the Bible, you're going straight to hell. But you are living in hell every day because you can't provide for your wife and your children. You don't have a proper roof over your head. So you're very far from heaven. And then they tell you you're going to die and then go to heaven. No, I say give me heaven right now. And give me here while my eyes are open so I can be sure that I am in heaven. I'm not going to want to wait until I die. What if it's a trick? But here they are, the trickers. They rape and rob and took our land, hand us the Bible, give us this. And all of this was planned and structured at the Council of Nicene. It was also structured earlier on at various other councils by which Africa was divided, and which no Africans was there to say, oh, shall we divide it? No. It was done wickedly again by the hands of the white man. But we are coming to the end of that era. It's a different time. It's a new day dawning. A new day has arrived. The sun has risen and is shining. And our children of Africa seeing the white man for who he really is. They are seeing the creation of wars for what they really and truly are. Wars are created to destabilize when other factors have vested interest in something other than, and it would not be the welfare, the benefit of the people of that country per se. No. It is because chaos is created, and the cloud of secrecy flows over a country. Oh, my God, what's happening here? And the little thieves, they run right in. There goes the minerals. Truckloads of it is going out by the nighttime. But the people in, as one caller remarked earlier on, Democratic Republic, the Congo, people down there are waking up. I've seen a video recently where older women are saying, we know what you are doing. They know they are helpless for whatever reason. We see the hard forces of the American government and the weaponry. They are major in weaponry. They give to these African brothers to fight against their own brothers. And, of course, a few dollars in their pocket, and they call them soldiers. So we are seeing this happening. And we know our hands are tied because of the force of how great it is, but we are happy that at least the wool has been pulled off the eyes of our children and even ourselves to know this is what goes on when you hear the Red Cross went down to help. Please, you see them, you say, no, please, leave our country. You don't need your help or your blankets or your injection with AIDS. That's all you all do when you all come across here. Please leave. We ought to have the strength to ask them to do so. So here we are again, it's Sadie Sunday. We want to know who else came by to visit. Dr. Robinson, could you keep
going? Hey, we have a special guest here tonight, the man himself, the creator, the moderator, the liberator, and any aider that y'all can add on to it, because I forgot all the words. Dr. James W. Winborn, and the W is for winner. Let's give him a nice hand, bring him into the studio.
Peace, everybody. I'm just here this evening and enjoying the show.
Always happy to have you, Dr. Winborn. And of course, you know, at the top of the show, we did say how wonderful it was that you had this foresight in seeing this platform where our locals can come together, we, the black people of the world, to stand and declare the very things that we want to talk about without having that big gag order. And we are happy that you were the one that seen this for us, and we thank you so very much. You just rock back and enjoy the ride. So it's your time now. So, Dr. Robinson, let's see who else is there.
Well,
we've also bring Dr. Winborn in to talk whenever you want.
May I say this? Dr. Winborn, you have to sit there and act shy like you did when you were dating back when you were 10.
Another girlfriend story?
Another girlfriend story. I just imagine from his personality, knowing the brother so long, and that's my brother. He might be my little baby brother, but that's my brother. Just knowing him and knowing what kind of man he is, for him to ask Shy something going on, like my grandfather said in South Carolina, something going on. I know when, you know, people got creativity minds and observant, you know, I know what happened. But I appreciate your kindness, brother. I appreciate your demeanor, your behavior, your character. I'm learning.
Listen, when it's going good, you might as well let the gift keep going. You know what I mean?
I want to remind you, this is a special day. It's Ronald A. Robinson's birthday. You understand what I'm saying?
Is that right?
You got to say something. You got to say something.
Oh, man.
Keep it clean.
It's only 8 o'clock.
Listen, let me get my book of words of wisdom, you know what I mean, so I can say something bright and witty, you know, this great and wonderful day of July 19th. How lucky and blessed we are. Happy born, brother. Happy born.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you so much.
Give you any more. We appreciate you and your efforts and your energies towards the Federation, your sacrifices that you've made, and so on this day we salute you. We thank everybody that's within the Federation Local 26 and those that have been working with the different projects that we've got going on, trying to generate more income for our families. We're excited about all of those things. And so, you know, I just want to encourage everybody just to keep moving. Let's keep doing what we're doing. Let's keep building what we're building. Let's stay focused. And because the world is watching it, and we have a big burden on our shoulders, and people are looking to us for answers. And so let's continue that fight, continue to hold up the bloodstained banner, and continue so that we can be here again next year, 11/19/2024, celebrating once more and again.
Amen. Amen. Ashe.
Now, birthday boy, is that your key going in the background?
All the time.
It's always good when we're on the phone with you. We know we can get a double feature.
keep it clean. Only 8 o'clock, prime time. Another girlfriend story, Dr. Winborn. I don't know how they seem to always wrap you up with these romantic endeavors. Are you hiding something from us?
Well, I'm hiding it from myself, too.
All right, but say the Sundays, you know, we drag it from under the rug, so don't come here trying to sneak anything covert.
Do me a favor, please. If you're dragged her from under the rug, bring her here. Okay?
We will hope to bring her for Christmas. You'll have a present. You just look under the Christmas tree this Christmas.
Bring her here, please. I've been looking for. I've been all in the refrigerator.
Under the Christmas tree.
I can't find her nowhere. Y'all help an old man out.
Oh, boy.
Listen, I was one couple of years back, I was on the one of those dating apps, and my daughter was here, right? And she said, asked me why was I wasting my time, because I wasn't doing nothing but window shopping.
So difficult to please.
She ain't doing nothing but window shopping. You ain't calling back one of the women.
I hear you.
By all means, if y'all find it, y'all can bring it out from under the rug.
You get a brother. You get an A+ for effort. At least you got on the site. You know.
I'm trying.
I couldn't find the dial. I'm like, where's that at now? What did they say? Black woman love poor black men. What was the name of that site? I ran into a site. I'm gonna tell you no lie. I ran into a site. Say, do you want to date a black female millionaires? And I said, damn, this is interesting. A site for all these millionaire black women, and I can't find them down the corner. But goddamn it, they got them all on the site. And so I went on the site, yeah. And it was quite interesting. I didn't get nobody, y'all. We still have to get together here, you know. They wanted my birth, my mother name, my daddy name, where I came from, how did I got here, where do I make my money? They want my stock exchange number. They wanted my banker's statement. They wanted 12 years of bank statement. They wanted 10 years of financial. They wanted to see my W-2 if I was working, and I had to qualify with six figures or better. I had to have a Rolls Royce. I had to live in a mansion in some nice zip code. And I had to be slim and trim. I had to have a six pack. I had.
Asking too much.
So, I was, dig it, there you go. So I had to go to the gym, and I tried to get the six pack, and I said, oh God, that ain't working, Jesus. Then I tried to run and get out of the bathroom to get the Rolls Royce. Then I ran and tried to get the Rolls Royce. That ain't work, Jesus. Then I ran and tried to get the mansion. That ain't work, Jesus. I said, Lord, I ain't going to be able to satisfy these women. Oh, God. What a life. The life of a black man in America, right? Oh, man.
But do they really
I want to also mention, anybody heard of Diaspora Wars? WARS. If anybody understands what a Diaspora Wars. There's a concept now on the internet, on social media, on the TikToks and the Twitters and the YouTubes and Instagram, anywhere you got these podcasters, they have this concept called Diaspora Wars. There's a show that comes on with an African American guy and a Gambian lady and a Ghana man and a man from Nigeria and another man from Nigeria, and they got a talk show. And they were talking about diaspora wars. And basically that means wars between people from black people, wars between black people from Africa, African black people, indigenous, and then mostly you see a lot of people from England, black, American black, Caribbean
yeah.
blacks, African blacks, and Brazil, and they're all discussing blackness and, you know, and it's the war between the cultural wars. And I'm like, you know what? And so they had the discussion about who's more masculine, African-American men or African men. Like, well, obviously, I know the answer to that question, but I ain't going to hurt nobody. Oh, God. You know, I said, let me tell you something. Where I come from, to still here in this jungle, that makes me the stronger one. But anyway, I guess it's content to get people excited and to get people to look at your podcast. There's some young African guys come on, and they say, oh, African-Americans are owned by the white man. Look at their names, Johnson. Robinson.
Yeah.
I said, now y'all said Robinson, now y'all stepping on my foot. Let me get on the show.
Yeah, I heard that.
Roberts, Williams, you know, they got white man names. They must be owned by the white man. Now, a lot of people got upset. Yeah. A little young Somali boy from Florida looked like every other little black kid you see. Said, I'm not black. I'm Somali. We different. And I'm like, boy, slow down, son. Don't have a heart attack because you Somali. You make Somali sound like a disease the way you getting sick there, boy. Slow down, you know. You Somali, baby. Smack, smack. You Somali, baby. smack, smack. You Somali, baby. and he's so upset because he don't want to be black, and, you know, he's light-skinned. He got the braids in his head like any other lights, but he don't want to be black. Another kid comes on. Oh, my God. British kid, mother's white, British, father's black, his father's Ghanaian from Africa. His mother's British. He lives in Britain. And he said, what the bloody bastard African-American. They run around talking about they're African-American. There's no race African-American. It don't exist. I'm trying to tell y'all something. It don't exist. You were stolen from Africa, and you came to America. So you have to find Ghana, Nigeria, Ethiopia, South Africa. You got to find where you come from. Boy, like he's 18, 17, some crap. You got to find your Kepa. I went to Georgia. And I met I'm in the street. He said I looked down the street. I saw this black guy. He looked like Ghanaian, like he's from Ghana. And I said, hey bro, what's up, Ghana? And he said, no, I'm African American. I said, well, where your mother and father from? They're African American. Where your grandmother and grandparents from? They're African American. He said, I got mad at that guy. He don't know where the hell he is. He can do it crazy. Everything he says, African-American, no such thing. So creating these diaspora wars to create excitement, to get people to look at their podcast, you know, because a little boy got a million views and made $15,000 or $25,000. I'm mad at him, you know. And so they're terming this on social media, diaspora wars, the wars between diaspora, the people of diaspora. So I just want to know if anybody heard of that. Anybody got any comments about that?
Yes, I can weigh in on this.
Sorry.
Dr. Emerson, what I see is happening, however, they want to stimulate the people in the diaspora to coming together. So I see these various podcasts is causing a lot of us to, what we should say, clap back at each other. So I have seen some of it happening, yes. And to be in agreement with the podcaster, there's no such thing as an African American. You know, that title was placed and given, 60 years ago, 70 years ago, I'm not sure, because, you know, I often tell black Americans, they cannot tell me that, because African, I think it's a watered-down version of who we are. So
it came
don't
out in the 80s.
No. Check your history. 1760, because in America, you can only immigrate. Y'all can check the history. You can only immigrate to America back in the 1800s if you were either African or if you were either a white. Those two categories could integrate into America. They didn't allow Caucasians. They didn't allow the other all the other people. Even in y'all, check this out. Even in Europe, Irish people couldn't come. Italians couldn't come. Germans could come because they're the largest population of Europeans here, and they're the first. But all these ethnic Albanians, Romanians, you know, your ethnic whites that really don't look white. They look like they got a better color, and they look more black than they look white. But yeah, it was a very confusing time, but yeah, African American the term was used back starting in the 1700s. Yeah, for political America and Europe came up with that with the concept, and then I think some of the slaves after they got free because they wanted to go back to the motherland, and Lincoln made it quite clear that he didn't want none of us here.
Let me ask you a question based off of that. Right. So back in the 1700s, they were calling the term was used African American. Where do the Moors fit into that matrix? Because blacks was here before the white people that's here now. Blacks was here since the Mexicans and the Olmecs. So if before they came, how does the Moors work into that if they were calling African Americans back in the 1700s? because we are Morris, and a lot of people say that if we look at the real old maps, that the maps have been flipped, and we actually are in Morocco.
Interesting.
You know, but it's something, you know, when we say that, because I remember coming up, you know, in the 50s and 60s, and it was Negro, okay, it was Black.
Colored.
It was African, and then it was African-American, and came later. You know, that's what I understood. It came later in the 70s. Where we started recalling Black Americans, you know, or Afro American. That's another terminology that was used, you know, as well. So I think the aspect of Black American came in much later, you know, after that. And when we talk about Moors, we talk about Black people. You're Moor, you're Black. You know. We have to try to understand language and whether I'm doing that right or wrong. But every language, they had their language identifying us. You know, the word nigger, well, we spell it N-I-G-E-R. But Niger, N-I-G-G-E-R, and the people that came from there, I think they were the Ibu or the Fulani or, you know, or
right.
So on.
Right, and you know what? Let's not forget the Nagush Nagas. The Nagush Nagas. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Nagush Nagas.
Yeah.
All of these N-I sounds are the sounds of nature, okay? And all goes back to nature in its purest form, represents the triple stages of darkness. And so out of darkness came everything. You know, so when we hear these terms, what we have to do is be able to do the etymology of these words and the terminology, go back and dig out where they come from, how it was started. You know, it's like the same thing. All of these maps, I was looking at a map, an old map of Louisiana. An old map of Louisiana, and every place in Louisiana was named after the places that we now believe is Egypt.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Right? So,
yes.
Like, how does that happen? Somebody lying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, also, the young brother that found the way that you could walk through Africa from America, from Alaska, and it was with a big mountain over there, everybody climb, and then they think they've done something good.
Everett, mm-hmm. Rushmore?
No.
Yeah.
What was that place? Anyway, you could walk from Alaska, that area, that region of America. You could walk to Africa from there. So that tells you. Africa is here. Now, we understood that in the early 1700s, all the Europeans got together, went to Hamburg, Germany, and decided to come up with this place called Africa. Okay, all that division and all that collusion, all that colonialism, imperialism, all that owning Africa. They sat down and they thought this thing over, and they came up and divided this place and made up these names. Now. Here's what I'm saying. If you denounce a person, if you go to anybody's country and say, oh, no, that's not right. Oh, you ain't that. You're going to find a negative response. But I don't fault nobody because their name is Trinidad and Tobago. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Katie. But I don't think we need to fault the person because it's the structure. When I go to fill out an application for university and I want to get a scholarship, back in my day, we were on the forms, black. you know, black. And I think a lot of the forms they still said black, and some of them say African American. So it's a form, it's the political socioeconomic situation. Now I might disagree with the terminology. I might understand it's where it derives from and the history of it. But I got to deal with this white man. I got to deal with these conditions. I got to deal with this socialization. I got to get a job. I got to get feed my kids. I got to buy a home. I got to live. And so maybe I might just accept, you know, African American. You know what I'm saying? People act like Jesse Jackson invented it. You know, nothing against you, brother. Nothing against you, cuz. But you know, but they you know, they're potentially, because he got his political side. He got it in the books. That, like, he invented African-American. I personally don't have a problem with it because I understand where it's coming from. I understand the globalization. I understand the mobilization. I understand that you have to have something in order to build something. And sometimes the context, sometimes something man means for bad, God turns for good. Now, black, a lot of people say black is negative. The reason when they came up with black and white in America, because they were trying to say black was bad, you know, all the things that that's connected to blackness is bad. It's bad things. And I think, like, the whiteness is bright, is sunshine. Black is dark. Is you know, have all these negative connotations to it. So a lot of people say black was created because it wouldn't created a social disparity of people of color. You know what I'm saying? So it's a social, psychological manipulation of people's minds so that they can divide and be angry. I'm not angry at a person. You know, Smokey Robinson came out and said, "Oh, I'm not African American. I don't want to do with African American. I don't want to hear it." He wrote a song and made a poem and every damn thing. And he performed the poem.
So
his old behind, old as he is, he got to be 100 years old. He get on the stage and do his little poem, and he thinks he did something. I'm black, and you know he had this little poem together there and said his little poem so clearly, and he's just so angry at anybody who's African American. To me don't make no sense. If I want to be called dog shit, that's my business. It's not you. You know, it's still my business. Let people.
Okay, well,
first of all, we got a major, 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 major issue. We got an enemy that's destroying us from every side you can think of. If somebody is black, if somebody's African American, if somebody's whatever they is, and they're willing to join together and fight, let the man come and fight. If the man is gay, let him come and fight. They're making a big thing over this guy, Rusty. Rustin or something, the black guy, the gay black guy that put together the legal structure for the civil rights movement, right?
Yeah,
Rustin,
yeah.
I think it was Rustin.
Yeah,
they're making a big movie and everything, make a big deal because he was gay, and then they told Dr. King if he don't shut the hell up, they're going to say that him and him going together, that Dr. King was gay with him. You know, Dr. King said, go say what you want to say. I got a bigger purpose than that mess. He saw it through. Most people say, well, you know, man, you got to go because, you know, you're gay and they're going to say I'm gay and I don't want to be messed with you. But he saw the bigger picture. Dr. King saw the bigger picture, bigger than gay. You understand what I'm saying? Because they play, manipulate words to try to make you do what they want you to do. They try to threaten you with words. I could care less. We have to. We got a bigger enemy. We got a bigger problem than black, African-American. It's bigger than that. And we got to come to some conclusion that we respect people's choice. Like women they want to give women the choice to for life or abort or keep the baby. We have to support people's choice because we need to do what we need to. Black people have to learn to become allies of one another. Caribbean people is allies to African Americans. African Americans are allies to Africans. Africans are allies to Brazilians. Brazilians are allies to Peruvians. Venezuela did something that nobody paid attention to. Venezuela cleansed their whole damn country of black people. You find no indigenous black people in Venezuela, but there were millions of them in the past history. And so if we don't get together, pointing our finger at this cracker, who is really the enemy, And I'm not talking about and I'm not talking about all your I'm not talking about white people. They're nice. Don't get me wrong here. I'm just saying those who, you know, make trouble. But if we don't learn and understand how to navigate through the real reasons we're in, what we're in, and who has the power and who's causing the conditioning, we're gonna find out what's up in the mess. You know, we're gonna find out what's up in the big mess.
You know, it's something, Dr. Winborn, what you were saying, and I think we can contextualize all of this through history or his story, you know, and the miseducation of the Negro and other people with it. You talk about Egypt, east of Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
In that area. Look how small they have Africa on the globe and map. But on the original map, Africa could fit in half the world.
Right.
You know, right. It could fit in the United States 5 or 6 times. You know, it could fit in Greenland. It could fit, everything could fit in that one place. Now, who's to say that before this landmass movement, that there weren't two cities built the same? All right, one on the east side, one in Akebulan, you know, and the other one, I forgot the name, the other name, and then as the land split, these societies who had the same culture, primarily, same science, split. And that's why you have it like in Egypt. And the indigenous people are saying, Egypt, that's not Egypt. This is Egypt.
This is Egypt. You're in Egypt.
Right. You're in Egypt. Yeah, you know, and so on. So greater minds than mine have put this out there. What I like about all of this information, okay, that it gives you something to think about, and so on, how we were taught to study history. Most of it was Western history. You know, we can go through aliens and all this other kind of stuff. These things were always here. Now, after 50 years, well, after Roswell, the United States is saying, oh, yeah, we made an Eisenhower, so we made an agreement, and now they're opening up all kinds of books and all this other kind of stuff that they were saying, no, they don't exist, you know, stuff like that. So, and such is humanity. The first people on the earth were black people. And because they were German, that doesn't mean that, or German or Dutch or Russian. They may have been originally from Africa, Akebulan, but the leaders of these countries initially were black people. When we talk about the Europeans, all right, and the poor whites that didn't have any land, they came over here, we're talking about black people. We're talking about founding fathers. We're talking about mixed race people. You know? And want to whiteify it? Well, now it's open. It's open. It's in the air. Abraham Lincoln was a black man.
Amen.
Yeah.
And on that note, we have the queen herself. She's here. Queen Olabisi, give her a nice hand because I need her to perform for me on contribution. I forgot what they call it, Contribution Day.
Greetings, peace, love, light. I would just like to let you know that there's a gentleman who was given a space in restoration to display his collection of African art. They opened yesterday, and I'm hoping that some of us will get an opportunity to duck in and see this collection of African art.
That would be great.
How wonderful, Queen Isabel Restoration Center, Fulton?
Yes, ma'am. Walk up the steps by Apple, between Applebee's and Moshood, and you see those steps right there. And it's free to go in and see, and view the collection.
Oh, wonderful, and thank you so much for sharing. And if you would, as you grace our airwaves, we do have a birthday boy hanging out with us. Our brother Ronald, this is Earth Strong. I mean, know you are the queen that drops some wonderful lines. So if you would just do a happy birthday, which you were unable to do before you came. It's Ronald's birthday.
Well, my dear Ronald, we pray that Jah will continue to guide, guard, and protect, and that your Earth Strong will bring you in alignment with whatever the Creator has in store for you. So everybody will join me in singing, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, happy birthday, Ronald. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Hip, hip, hip.
Hooray.
Thank you. Okay.
Hooray.
Hooray.
That's how we do it on Sundays.
Be
careful now. Be careful now. You were supposed to become an agile. Don't be groaning as if all puns intended.
Thank you all.
You're very
and
welcome.
Whatever we're doing and a plan to do, Ashe, it will be done.
Ashe, Ashe, Ashe.
So how old are you now? Do you
74.
Really?
Oh, beautiful.
Wow.
I've never heard it put that way, but since y'all lying. Beautiful.
I'm anxious to see what the next 74 brings, you know.
Ronald, beautiful guy. Beautiful. It is wonderful. If I could say too, I would say, God damn it, what the hell are you talking about? I am so happy, y'all. I'm so happy that we found some beauty in AIDS. Thank you, Jesus. Hear that, Jesus? It's beautiful, Lord. That means don't let Bible come now. Give him another 45 years.
You just underestimated
Ronnie, you see how I love you? See, I love you. I'm calling Jesus and everything. I don't spoke to him and got him all upset that he's going to let you stay here for 45 more years. Oh, Jesus. Okay. Sadie, I'm so sorry. I'm picking the show into something else.
Oh, boy. Thank you. It's been a wonderful day. I've learned a lot and listened to more than I have to learn. Yeah.
Well, I learned a lot. I mean, it's beautiful. I'm hot dog. I can't wait to hit 100. Gonna be awesome. I tell you, hey, man, you know, I'm learning a lot here now. I'm learning a lot of stuff here, you know.
Yeah. I'm so happy. He's 180 years old.
Wow.
180. You know, and he hasn't stopped stepping.
Wow. Well, I saw a guy 104. He looked like a statue, but anyway, we ain't gonna talk about that. But he's dancing. I mean, this guy is really flexible, this old 104-year-old man, and he's dancing all these old dances and whatnot. And I said, you know, I said, God damn it, stop showing off, damn it, because I can't even do that right now. Stop showing off, guy, you know, stop dancing so much, you know.
Oh,
but anyway,
you got to stretch.
Yeah. Go to ballet school, right?
Hey. If it works, it works, you know.
Yoga. That's right.
Some yoga.
I remember James Brown could do that split. I think it was 70 or 60 when he did the last one. When he got up, he said, God damn it, no more of this. I'll see y'all later.
Oh, boy.
Interesting.
It's been a good day.
Well, Ronnie, it's indeed when we can have laughter on our birthday and our Earth Strong, it's a wonderful day because laughter is the best medicine. Laughter is the greatest joy to know that you feel great within, and that's the best feeling for a man to have his spirit and his health intact. It's wonderful. We give thanks and praises that we can laugh with you on this glorious day that you celebrate as you ascend within your consciousness. You're into a new level of consciousness right now, and we will be very lucky and happy and blessed if we too can make it to that age as we journey along this here path. So may it be blessed with you. Continue to have that wonderful smile and that laughter that you're blessed with. May you carry it on for one more year and all the years to come. So it's good to celebrate. It's wonderful to celebrate. When we get together, we have to take a drink for this Earth Strong, Brother Ronnie.
Hallelujah.
Okay. So, Dr. Robinson, you know, the families are hanging out. Is anybody else joining us at this time?
Not as yet, but we're going to hang in there. We've got more time here.
Okay. Is the Queen still with us?
She is.
Okay, Queen. So, as you said, the show at Restoration, was it quite interesting that we should be there?
It's an art exhibit. It's a collection of art, African art from all over the world.
Oh, wonderful. That's something worth a while, most definitely.
It's free, I mean.
That's at the Restoration Center? Oh, where was it?
Restoration.
On Fulton?
Oh, yeah.
It's close to Applebee's, right? Something like that.
Give me the cheapest one you have. Yes, it's the square between Applebee and Michoud.
All right.
Okay,
what's the time?
What's the time frame?
1 p.m.
Oh, good.
You know, I should have got a compliment to us.
1 p.m. until what time?
I want my dashboard wiped.
Possibly sometime in 7 or so.
I'm in the car.
So, until 7?
Queen, could you verify? Or you have no idea?
Until about 7, yes. Please,
yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that would be interesting to go to.
If we had known earlier on, we could have a date and go across for your Earth Strong run.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll definitely make it up.
So the museum is going to be in there for a while, or just a limited time?
Okay, I gotta put my Gotta put my phone on.
I am in the car wash. Going through the car wash. As we speak. I hope the reception is good while I'm going through here.
Yeah, I can just sit to you going through those with the fluffy rags coming down from the car. Is that happening? Just in the movie.
Some days I wish I'm not inside of the car, and I wish I'm on top there to be buffered. And
I can just think of those fluffy rags coming over your back. Or that.
I know. I'd like to have those rags, you know, still chewing on me. Brushing me from every angle. Oh, what a thing. To be brushed from multiple angles simultaneously.
You mean you like the light touch of rag going down your back? You're actually having thoughts of wet cloth coming down your back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, it's only 10. Well, we know it's coming close to the top of the hour.
It's a family show, right?
it's the what?
No, it's a family show, right?
It's so quick.
No, we did the kiddie part already, and we certainly did the sermon at the start of the show. This is the ending of the show for all those who are new to the show, and this is where we really do the adult version. You have 5 minutes of show time, people.
You know, you think it's quick. It's quick from start to finish. It's quick. Very quick. Very quick.
By what we can surely say, we came and we sit and we sup and we enjoy the family. It was a wonderful Sunday evening. We celebrate our brother Ronald telling us that he is 74 years young, I should say, and we shall be thankful if one day we are lucky to reach there. Ronald, it's been your day. It is, in fact, your day. One more time around the sun. As we are heading into the hour, so it's also a great day that you should spend with your sister Sadie and this wonderful Sadie Sunday show. You choose a really good outlet to enjoy these years as they go by, these wonderful years of wisdom. You're a voice that we listen to on Sundays. We are always happy to have you and celebrate you. And what a wonderful that your birthday should fall on such a day. I wish mine could also fall on a Sunday so we can do a really good Sadie Sunday. But we're thankful for all those who come by. And Queen, you know, we always love to have you singing and serenading. We were hoping you'd come on just to have this moment that Ronnie can have a smile on his face and a memorable birthday. We give thanks also for Dr. Winborn, who's always here. Sometimes he is a sneaky listener. He has a different phone number and stuff, but you know, we catch up with him. With his, don't try to be covert around here. You know we are more mafiosos than you are, Dr. Winborn. And of course, Dr. Winborn, we have.
I'm going to start calling with my iPad. Y'all ain't going to know who it is.
No. We will not ask you to open your mic if that's the case. But you know, Dr. Robinson, we are all family, and we love it when we share the good Sundays, the laughter, and we often remember from whence we came, you know, and how much we're going to continue. Always happy to know who is going to come on. It's like it's like the box of chocolates. We don't know what we're going to get. That's a very Sunday show for your people, but it's also full of laughter and joy. And of course, you know, this is where we take things under the rug. You know, we recently found out of Dr. Winborn's 2 girlfriends. You know, he just keep coming out stuff, But we gently pull them back up under the rug. Some things we're just going to have to pull back.
This is the show over. Y'all got to put them back under the rug.
You just have to do a birthday club, you know?
That's what we got to do. But well, I got my fingers crossed. because I got a birthday coming up too.
So that we'd have some in studio moments, in studio for birthdays, you know, in studio session.
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds like a play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, it's, again, we're going to choose our words very carefully and just say this Sunday. We move close to the top of the hour, but I think I said in studio session, and that sounds like a plan. So I don't know if we're going to have a date or what we're going to have, but please come to me, and I will be here. I'll be present. You know, we continue our Sundays, and we meet and we greet every Sunday at 7 p.m. to 9. We're, again, we are family, and we just love to do it this way. The truth will set you free, people. Remember, truth and laughter is life recipe. Anything else is just stuff. But we stick to what is life's greatest recipe, the truth and laughter. So my wonderful studio audience, you know, as usual, it's a joy to have you. Anybody else have any last-minute comments? You only have a minute because we are heading closely to the top of the hour. Dr. Robinson, let me know what's happening. If we left anyone else out?
No, we're clear.
All right, well, at this time, this is
Okay,
clear.
Okay, baby.
All right, so we're going to do the touchdown. This is Sadie Gomez, the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, saying to you, good night.
Good night.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. It will get better.
It's got to get
better.
This is the part I love.
Whatever.
Gotta get better.